In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xennial. But what is a Xennial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xennial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And this is kind of an interesting episode, at least for me. I think for Mike, too, because I know it doesn't really make a difference to you all listening, but we've actually changed the time of day we are doing our recording.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you guys are going to hear a difference, but it turns out that neither of us are actually morning people.
No, not at all.
No. And so we've sucked for like a year.
Is that? I guess that's part of it. Although it does seem that we have more interesting conversations on our night shows, as referenced from the last show that we did.
Oh, dude.
Where a discussion about Pop-Tarts ended up being almost about entirely about masturbation, which is just awesome. Interestingly, that led to a couple of ideas that I had for future podcasts that I know Mike doesn't necessarily want to delve into some of these things, but. We will be delving into them, especially because we have the, you know, we have put up now that our stuff is explicit, so I'm not going to go too deep into things, but at least there's some things that we can, yeah, exactly. There's some things that I feel a little more comfortable talking about now that we've kind of set for an audience of more adult audience than anything else.
Well, yeah, you know, we just want to be more honest,
yes.
More straightforward, more us, man.
Well, and honestly, you could very well imagine us sitting around having a conversation about Pop-Tarts and I would go off on a tangent talking about masturbation. It just happens that way.
This is true.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of open to those types of discussions. In fact, you know, we've had instances with weird discussions. I'm sure you remember, back in the day when I'd come and hang out at your house, our wonderful story times that we used to have.
Oh, story time is amazing.
Story time was such a wonderful thing.
Oh, story time was good. Should we, like, describe what story time was? I'm down with describing what's...
Okay. Go ahead.
So I'm introducing to anybody who's listening to this, who ever missed out on this. This is one of the... we're talking about time when I was in a band, and one of my roommates was a band member.
You're doing Bachelor Living.
Yeah, Bachelor Living, man. And James and his
group of people, if you will,
his friends and his
entourage.
Yeah, entourage. Let's say entourage.
Have an entourage.
I like that.
That makes me feel special.
they would all come down and hang out, and we would all have a good time, you know, playing video games and drinking, bring some amazing food.
Yeah, bring some food.
By the way,
yes.
Sometimes the hangout
wife.
Spot, yeah, would be different. And boy, when it was up at your house, the food was bitchin'.
It was my wife.
It was amazing.
Cook. Yeah, my wife can cook very well. Hence the reason I am fat. But that's so, all right. I'm good with that.
We used to do this. We used to do this thing when, you know, everybody did, you know, nice and drunk, and we would.
some of us just on the tipsy level, but yeah, we'd be imbibing a few.
So I have checked, by the way,
yes,
recently, more recent issues, and the new Cosmopolitans do not have this section in the menu.
Oh, that sucks.
They are way back.
So the reference is, what would happen is, we would have an issue of the Cosmopolitan magazine.
It got to the point where we started buying them before the parties.
Yes.
You did it more often than anybody.
I didn't have to buy them. I have a wife who was involved in the beauty industry. So she was buying, I believe at that time we had a regular subscription to Cosmopolitan.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. I thought you guys were buying them on the way down.
No.
You'll come out and pick a 24-pack and you know?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I believe she had a regular subscription to them. And so near the back of the book, there would be some kind of a romance story.
Yeah, it was always one of those, you know, it was always just, it was like a teaser.
Yes.
For.
and so.
It was like this strange PG-13 rated teaser for romance novels.
And they would use the worst euphemisms for body parts that's humanly possible. The worst descriptions of people like kissing and touching on each other.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
All made better. And I mean, I'm talking not just better, but better.
Oh, yes.
by the person who would read them every single time.
Yeah, we even tried to do a round robin where there were different people that were reading them.
It didn't work.
No. This guy was the star of it. He's a guy who's been on the podcast. His name is Scott.
He is actually our announcer at the beginning of the podcast. So when you listen to this and you hear the, you know, you hear the introduction coming in with the awesome guitar stuff going on. Mike, by the way, did the guitar stuff. Just want to shout that out. This is our announcer guy, Scott, our football friend, Scott, our all around good guy, Scott. And he would take these cheesy PG-13, as Mike said, kind of,
yeah, they were totally
romance-y,
like,
housewife porn type things and read them. And the way that he would read them was just,
my favorite parts were when he would not expect, because he would be reading them for the first time in front of us.
Yeah.
So his reaction at times when he would read a euphemism like mound, and just, we would die because none of us expected it to happen.
And you could see he didn't either.
Yeah.
He would see the word and he'd just be like, mound? And it was, I mean, low-key kind of version of, on Saturday Night Live, the one character that, the guy with the lazy eye he used to play. Stefan character.
Oh.
A low-key version of that, where the Stefan character, he had no idea what he was reading. Bill Hader
never knew what
he was reading when he was doing that. It's kind of like that, but again, much more low-key version, because we were trying to get laughs, but not in the same way. We weren't trying to make Scott laugh. Scott was trying to make all of us laugh.
He was up at one point, but half of the reason why it was so funny was because he didn't know what was going to happen.
So reading it
for the first time, it was funnier having him break. It was literally like the Stefan formula. That's what it was. We were doing it at house parties.
And his delivery was just, he would get into something akin to his announcery voice. And he's a guy that does voices really, really well.
He does.
And gets into character really good.
He does.
I mean, he's the type of guy.
He has a theater background too, doesn't he?
He does have a bit of a theater background.
Because he can act his ass off.
Oh, he's, in fact,
great at voiceover.
If anybody's ever wanting to see some funny stuff from him, from Mike's, one of Mike's old bands, Prilosis. If you can find some of their stuff on YouTube where Scott is playing, what's the character's name?
He plays Cecil.
Cecil.
Yeah, he's a pervy computer programmer.
The character of Cecil that he plays in many
Shout
of these
Shout out to
things.
Defunct Band Channel.
Yes.
On YouTube.
I mean, just the Cecil character stuff is flipping amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I could watch him do the Cecil character over and over. Heck, I think we even have... did we even record last time we had him over for the podcast? When we had him over for the doing the voiceover stuff for the announcing.
Yeah,
I think him and I were going back and forth using doing voices like we were crotchety old mountain folk in like West Virginia or something, talking about how to cook up squirrel. Mike jumped in at one point.
Yeah,
when we get him on the podcast again, we'll have some conversation. He's great at improvisation, great at voices. But yeah, it was a fun time doing those little porn things.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was, dude. That stuff was hilarious. The great thing was that it was not full on porn.
No,
it was not pornographic novel.
It was made to be.
They
G-rated
as much as they could so that they could get it into a public print magazine.
Yes.
And it was so terribly cheesy.
Yes.
It was
so
beautiful.
Great.
Yeah.
So
it was
great.
Beautiful. It was art. It was art in all of its in all descriptions that you could give it.
If I have any of the old Cosmos that have those in it, I will try to find them so that we can do this again at some point.
Oh yeah, I think like when I moved out of that house, I think I threw them all away. I had a stack of those.
I don't know if my wife still has them in storage somewhere. If we threw them,
I might
out
be
either.
Making a trip to eBay or something.
Yeah, because it would just be funny
find
to
something
have that
with like
again.
Meg Ryan or Mila Kunis on it or something like that. Yeah. You know it's going to be in there.
Yeah, at some point. Well, actually, this leads me into an interesting topic. Talking magazines and talking semi pornographic and or pornographic. There is actually a former Playboy cover model who has, at the age of 74, claimed that she would love to do a Playboy cover again when she turns 75.
Wait, what?
Now, Playboy is no longer putting out magazines.
They're not in print
anymore.
Defunct. They stopped, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're not fully defunct. They're an online, magazine
only,
now.
But she has actually said she would love to do the cover again. Now,
Hugh's
I want
still
to say,
alive too, isn't he?
He was dead. Hugh
no,
is dead
he
now.
Died like a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
didn't
he died a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right. No. Oh, that's right. I remember. Like there was a lot of people talking about that. Not just not necessarily all positive either. I remember. There was a bit of backlash that I saw online. There was a lot going on too. Yeah, there was a lot of conversation.
But this specific artist, she was on the cover in 1978.
Uh-huh.
She was in the magazine, but was not nude at any point. There was no nudity of her. She was just in the bunny suit on the cover.
Who was it?
And again, she wants to do it at 75. Dolly Parton.
Shut up.
Okay.
not
literally. No, okay, no. Sorry. No, seriously. Seriously, Dolly Parton has said that she would do it at 75. She says
75 years old.
She could possibly still fit in the her words, she could possibly still fit in the bunny costume because the boobs are the exact same because they've been fake since then.
Well,
she'll
right.
be the first to admit to it. She says there's just more makeup on her face now.
She's proud of that fact.
But she said she'd be more than glad to do it again.
Whoa.
I just want to say applause to her. And, I mean, if she did the whole nude, I probably would look.
Really?
I'd probably look at the pictures.
I don't know, dude. I'm kind of torn a little bit. Like, I'm not sure.
I mean.
I'm not sure.
Just, you know, it takes me back to the movie Airheads.
That's weird. Airheads, I don't know where to go
movie.
With this.
You remember Airheads, of course. In fact,
you sent me
an Airheads meme the other day, which I thought was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great meme. But there's a few parts in that movie that I really love. The fact that Lemmy was in it, and most people wouldn't recognize that.
Right.
And then they make the best Lemmy.
The Lemmy is God joke, of course.
Yeah, the Lemmy is God joke. Best Lemmy
joke
ever.
Lemmy is God.
But the fact that it always struck me, one of the requests that they had when they were, you know, holding everybody hostage and making all kinds of weird requests, the naked pictures of Bea Arthur. And I even remember when I heard that as a kid, I remember going, yeah, I'd look. Not my favorite Golden Girl, but I'd look.
Well, are we talking like Golden Girl age B. Arthur or Maude B. Arthur? Like, think about
Annie,
it.
I would still
or
look.
Even back on Mary Tyler Moore, because you know everybody would look if she was on Mary Tyler Moore still.
Yeah, okay, I get that. But right? Still, I mean,
you have to
matter.
Think, at, yeah, it. That's where oh, I'm just like, thing? I mean, I could, you know what? It would be this strange curiosity. It would be a curiosity.
That's what I'm saying.
You'd check.
I'd look.
You'd be like, probably, yeah, you'd check.
I wouldn't take
even it. If you said you wouldn't, like, part of you'd be like, if I had the opportunity and I didn't want people to know, like,
I wouldn't take it with me for my half hour trip into the bathroom, but I would at least look at the picture. You know what I'm saying? And I think I broke Mike at this point. Awesome.
God.
Onto a serious note.
Wow.
Onto a
what?
Serious note. Yeah, we're going to do a quick transition to something serious. I know you posted something about this.
Oh, I did.
And we did have a kind of major film actor that passed away.
Yeah.
Max von Sydow.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a lot of people who don't know him, but they've seen him. He's one of those actors in more modern times that has appeared as he's typically more of a bad guy.
He's in a lot of movies. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I remember him like Minority Report. He's one of the like main people in Minority Report. He was in the recent one of the recent Star Wars movies. He was in The Force Awakens. He had a very, very small part at the beginning. And Kylo
he did.
Yeah, Kylo Ren janks him pretty quickly in the beginning. He's the first person you see Kylo Ren kill.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it's a hard. It's
I
a
didn't
hard,
realize
and that's,
that.
That's like a really cool introduction scene for Kylo Ren because dude, he flat out kills Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
And then he freezes a blaster bolt in the air as it's flying towards him.
Yeah.
He uses the force to stop a blaster bolt flying in the air. When I was in the theater for the first time and saw that, I was like, oh, because, I mean, you watch the original Star Wars, A New Hope, and you have Vader coming through the entrance, and he's the, you know, the biggest badass. He's choking people. He's this and that. It's like, okay, that's the dude. And then you see this introduction of Kylo Ren, and you're like, this could be the next dude. I can believe this is the dude.
Yeah, for sure. Man, I gotta
totally
go back and
it.
See Force Awakens again.
Yeah, he's right there at the beginning.
Wow.
Just a very small
I didn't
small
realize
part.
That was
his,
him.
His character was Lor San Tekka, and he's the one that gives Poe Dameron the map to find Luke Skywalker.
And that's why he's dead.
Yep.
In that movie.
Which, I mean, now for Max von Sydow, probably his most famous movie is, what is it, The Seventh Sign?
That depends on who you talk to.
Okay.
I would say the most
Exorcist.
Famous would be The Exorcist.
Okay, most people
he's
go Exorcist.
Most well known for The Priest and The Exorcist. However, not a lot of people realize that he is in The Seventh Sign.
That movie, I remember watching that in film class back in
that
high school.
That is filmmaking 101.
Yeah, I mean, that movie is amazingly fantastic.
Yeah, it's been decades since I've seen it. I did see it in a film class.
Yeah.
Way back, and
because it should be taught in every film.
Absolutely,
class.
It shows you so much about pacing,
yes,
and so much about suspense. It's insane,
and it is for modern audiences. It is a slow moving movie, and it is in black and white for those people who can't stand black and white films.
Yeah, but this is when he's in his prime.
The pacing, like you say, is just so amazing.
It's amazing, suspense and the why can't I find the word right now?
The storytelling, the pathos.
I don't want to say charisma. The chemistry between the two. Okay. Thank you. The chemistry between both of the actors.
Yes.
Both of the characters themselves.
Just amazing.
It is so. It's so good. For anybody that hasn't seen this, this is a story about a man who challenges death to a game of chess.
Yes.
It's a very basic concept. But man, when you watch it, it is one of the most suspenseful things I have ever seen, because the two of them are having a conversation about life and the meaning of it and everything.
So deep as a
while
film.
The game is going on.
And of course, there is actually a movie that parodies and spoofs it.
And it does it brilliantly.
So brilliantly.
That's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Such a great way
of doing it. So the character of Death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is based on the character of Death.
From
The Seventh Sign.
Yeah, Seventh Sign. And so
that's what a lot of people especially don't know now, but when you see it, when you see the character of Death as a dramatic role and then go back and watch Bogus Journey, it makes it that much funnier.
It does.
Shows you like who... specifically like who the director and who the screenwriter and everybody else
the person who wrote the story knew so much about film.
It's such a beautiful homage to that.
By the way, little note into that, there has been rumors. William Sadler was the actor who played Death in Bogus Journey.
He is not going to be back.
There are rumors that he may appear in the new Bill and Ted movie.
He has to. If there's rumors, it's got to happen.
It's got to happen.
People would be grossly disappointed at this point. As much as they've been hyping like
I would cheer for it.
I
can tell you that right now.
Hands down.
And apparently there are musicians that are lining up to have cameos in the movie.
I better see Primus there again.
That would be interesting.
Primus was there in Bogus Journey. They're in the Battle of the Bands. They're playing Tommy the Cat.
Yeah.
It's, oh my God, that's amazing.
It's one of those moments where it's like, what? Dude, oh yeah, that's them.
I should see Primus. I'm hoping to see Faith No More. I'm hoping to see like all of these.
That reminds me. It was about 3 or 4 months ago. I was watching Encino Man with my wife because she's a huge, she was a huge Brendan Fraser fan. Still is.
At work, and there's a younger kid who's at my work right now.
Is he the listener?
He's not a listener.
Oh, he's not. Make him listen.
I will tell him. Absolutely. I've told him more than once, but I will force it upon him.
Okay, good.
To listen to the podcast. He does. He's a really good kid, and he's getting into watching all of these old films. We have a huge collection of.
Did he get to see Encino Man as well?
He watched Encino Man. He absolutely loved it. He's young. He's like 22 or something like that.
My wife back in the day, she was a huge Pauly Shore fan.
Yeah.
Because she's always been into people that are kind of counterculture, different kind of people. So huge Pauly Shore fan. I've probably seen Son-in-Law like at least 100 times, maybe 150 times.
Okay, I've seen Son-in-Law like 5 or 6 times.
Oh, God, I love that movie, and she loves it even more. But she's a huge Pauly Shore fan.
Jury Duty was one of my favorites, though.
That one's not bad.
That was great,
but,
man. It was actually very well, the plot twist itself.
Yeah, the twist
the end
is good.
Was written very well. Just there's a lot about that film that was actually
maybe we
well
have to
done.
Do a Pauly Shore retrospective.
I'm okay with that.
Still have to do an Adam Sandler one too, which is on my list.
Beautiful.
Oh yes, Gull Dane.
Oh, this is the first time he told me.
Cool,
I'm down.
But anyway, she's been a fan of Pauly Shore. She's always been a fan of Sean Astin, which if I was to pick like an actor that I maybe have some resemblance to, Sean Astin would be one that I kind of have a little bit of resemblance to. We're talking Samwise Gamgee.
Okay, yeah.
The kid from Goonies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I know who he is.
When I'm shaved,
yeah,
if
Rudy.
If you can remember back to what my face looked like when I was shaved, I have a little bit of a resemblance to it.
I don't mean this in any insulting fashion at all, but I have seen a resemblance to you in Jack Black a bit.
I get that. That one, I'm okay with that. Especially considering how talented he is.
Especially the film Shallow Hal. More than anything, this is
his appearance or his attitude.
More his appearance. Not really his attitude. No. Because he's a dick in that movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm
well. Okay. Well, he's not really so much. Jason Alexander.
Yes,
he's a dick.
Jason Alexander has a tendency to play those parts really, really well.
He is really good at that.
Yes, he really is. I mean, think back to Pretty Woman. He's a total dick. I think he's just really he is. He's a complete asshole.
You know,
maybe
just the cards were not dealt for him very well since the McDonald's commercial.
I guess. Once the hair loss started happening, it's like your head resembles a penis. That's what we're going to make you in every single role that you're in. Even his most famous role, he was kind of a dick. Of course, everybody was kind of a dick in that show.
Everybody
but
was kind of, yeah, that was the point.
But anyway,
which, by the way, I have found it must be me getting older, but I have found a bit of an appreciation for Larry David's comedy.
Yes, except for Seinfeld. I'm not a fan of Seinfeld. But
you should.
It's the Jerry Seinfeld of Seinfeld.
No,
I can't
you should
stand
check out.
To him.
No. You should check out Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes,
it puts it in perspective and makes it a lot more believable.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is one of those shows that I've been meaning to watch, but it is not my wife's cup of tea for comedy.
It was originally, and I understand that. I think totally there's a lot of people. There's a stigma behind Curb Your Enthusiasm that it's been considered Seinfeld with the F word.
Well,
but the thing is if you take the day-to-day comedy of Seinfeld, and you add the F word to it, it becomes a whole different level of funny.
I get you on that.
In many
like
aspects.
Like I said, it's just not her cup of tea.
There was actually a segment I saw that he did on Saturday Night Live, and they always pull Larry David for political comedy because
He's Bernie.
He plays
Bernie
Sanders.
Bernie.
He always plays Bernie Sanders. There was a Curb Your Enthusiasm type episode during Bernie's 2016 campaign.
Did Bernie come on?
No, not that one. Although the two of them did do a sketch together, and they did also find out that they were distant cousins, which is really funny.
Not surprising.
Surprising at all.
They do both have Jewish heritage, so it's not surprising.
They do. And they were able to line them back to the same Jewish immigrants. Now, that being said, he does play Bernie in a Curb Your Enthusiasm style episode where he's meeting people at a rally, and what's her name? Leslie Mann?
Is it Leslie Mann in that show? I don't know.
I don't think it's no. She's the black lady, the really loud, raspy black lady.
Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones
from Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I love her. She's amazing.
Oh, she's amazing. But so she plays somebody who's like crazy about Bernie at the rally, and then she coughs into her hand, and then she sticks her hand out to shake his hand. Yeah. He's like, nah. No, I'm okay. That's good. That's good. He, like, pats her on the shoulder. She's like, what the hell? But the cameras were rolling, so he catches crap because he wasn't going to shake the hand of
large black woman.
Of a black constituent over at his rally, and it becomes this huge thing. Like, it was really very well put out. It was very well played out as a situational comedy, and the style was, I know he co-wrote that.
By the way,
it was very well done.
I do have to say, I love it when political figures of any kind of political figures, I love it when they do comedy with the people that parody them.
Yes.
I love it so much.
I honestly like it when any celebrity
does it, but it's any celebrity. I'll go with any celebrity.
Yeah.
I will say that some of the funniest comedy I've seen is when a celebrity goes along with a parody of them.
For sure.
And it makes me like the person lot more.
We can do a whole episode on that.
We will.
Nick Cage with Andy Samberg as Nick Cage.
That was amazing.
That was an amazing point. My favorite one still to this day is Mike Myers as Mick Jagger with Mick Jagger as Keith Richards on Weekend Update.
I never saw that one. I have to now. I will look for that one.
I will find it, and I will share it with you.
But anyway, back to the original point I was making with Encino Man. We're coming all the way back there.
Yes.
When I was watching Encino Man, it was great to see Suicidal Tendencies playing at the prom.
That's right.
Yeah, Suicidal Tendencies.
It
is
Suicidal
at the prom.
Tendencies. Oh, yes. My goodness.
Which, by the way, this is also
amazing.
What's funny about this is this conversation about all these bands appearing in movies at different points in time. This is going into another idea for a podcast. I'm trying to get people prepared for stuff, maybe look forward for stuff.
Oh, gosh.
I want to do a podcast where we talk about source music, where you're watching a movie and the music is playing on the radio or maybe a band is playing it.
Yeah.
It's not the main part of the story.
Right.
Like, for instance, we'll take one of my favorite movies, the Tom Hanks movie, That Thing You Do.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't pick the songs that the band does, including the song That Thing You Do.
No, those songs are written for the band.
Those are part of the band's story, so that's not the incidental music. Although the moment when they do hear it first on the radio,
yeah.
I could argue that that could be like the source music incidental stuff that happens. But I'm thinking more along the lines of when the people in the movie are hearing a song play or they sing a song just a cappella or something like that, and these moments are memorable moments within the movie. That kind of
the first one I think of is I think it was 48 Hours with Eddie
Roxanne!
Murphy singing. No, I was thinking
not the Roxanne. Is that in 48 Hours or another 48 Hours?
I can't remember. Maybe, the
no,
one
it's
where,
another.
No,
it's another
no,
48
it's,
Hours.
It's the one where I must be mixing it up. 48 Hours. Eddie Murphy was in 48 Hours.
He was in
he?
Both. Yes.
Okay. Tutti Frutti.
Oh, is that what he's singing in that one? Okay, yeah. Yes. Okay. No, the Roxanne is in
it's
the second
so
one.
It's so terrible.
Roxanne is in
terribly
the second
good.
One.
Terribly good. Really dirty.
Yes. he does the original lyrics, huh?
No, he doesn't do that.
I'm going to have to go back and watch it.
No, he bastardizes it really, really well, but it's really funny.
It's been a long time. But anyway.
I can't remember if it was 48 Hours or Beverly Hills Cop. I think it was 48 Hours. Beverly Hills Cop was like PG, right?
PG-13.
PG-13?
Yeah.
No, this definitely was R-rated.
Okay.
So I think it was 48
Hours. It was probably
48
Hours. But anyway, that will be another podcast at some point. But yeah, it's fun when you get to see those bands and... Again, it would be nice to see in the new Bill and Ted movie. It would be nice to see some of the old bands. It would be nice to be seeing
if
just a bunch of.
If they don't do that, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Well,
man.
I mean, I know that there are musicians that are really wanting to be involved. That those movies have some cultural significance, especially again. That's one of those things from our generation. That's kind of where we met Keanu. And where we fell in love with Keanu.
Oh, yes.
Y'all fell in love with him with John Wick. That's where we fell in love with him.
Which is crazy because there's like this whole, section of people that were introduced to him in The Matrix. And yeah. They all forgot about The Matrix when John Wick came
yeah.
out.
Like, oh my God, this is some amazing action with Keanu Reeves. And it's like, didn't you see The Matrix? What about Neo?
Right.
He knows Kung Fu. Seriously. But anyway. I digress.
Indeed.
Okay, guess what we're going to do?
What are we going to do?
We're going to take a break.
Oh, okay.
Because I hit all the kind of new information points. When we come back from our break, I have a little surprise for Mike that pertains to our podcast from last week.
Oh, my.
And I also have a couple of personal things, personal information on my part, personal information on Mike's part that he doesn't know about that I'm going to say something about.
Say what?
And just more personal discussion like that. We'll be back. In just a minute.
Excuse me. Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back, everybody.
Yep.
I think Mike is a little bit frightened by
I'm a little freaked out. I have no idea.
You know,
it's
not think back to the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back movie. Kay. Right? Think about that movie.
Okay.
And they're in the van and they've just thrown out Stifler.
Right.
And like Jay is trying to figure out how to talk to the girl, right?
Right,
how to talk to Justice.
Right.
And he's got the little angel and the devil. And the devil gives him a recommendation.
What's a trouser snake?
And so it's not a trouser snake. That's I'm letting you know. The thing I'm surprising you with is not
you
a trouser snake.
You better not, because...
We just don't roll that way.
No.
But anyway.
That's...
I said the second half of the podcast we'd have a surprise.
You understand what consent is, correct?
Yes,
sir?
I do. I do understand. No means no. Queen Latifah taught me that. No
oh,
means
good,
no.
Oh, good. So you've learned it for
yes.
a while.
I saw her dangle somebody out the window and remind that person that no means no. That was in a movie she did with Steve Martin. Really weird movie.
That was
a great movie. Bringing Down the House.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really weird movie.
That was great.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying really weird.
Those were like two hits that, like, those were two non-hit, like, sleepers. For him,
what?
Bringing Down the House and Bowfinger was my other
favorite.
Bowfinger was fantastic.
I just watched that 3 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
It was on TV, and I'm like, I got to stay and watch this. I just got to watch it.
People forget how good Bowfinger
is. Eddie Murphy is so good in that, playing
both
parts.
He is. He's fantastic.
I'm surprised they didn't have Charlie play the other part, but the fact that Eddie Murphy played both parts is just hilarious. My favorite moment is when Heather Graham is taking her shirt off, and he's just smiling, just a big smile. You're doing great. Yeah. But like, did you know that the whole when he's being interviewed or the audition scene?
Yeah,
his kind of audition scene and interview scene. Every one of his responses is completely ad libbed. All of it. Nothing's
written. Wow.
All of it ad libbed. And here's the fun part. You know who directed that movie?
I thought Steve Martin did.
No, Steve Martin did not direct that movie.
Who directed
Steve
it?
Martin wrote it because he'd been working on it for years.
Yeah.
No. Dude, motherfucking Yoda directed that movie.
Frank Oz?
Frank Oz directed that movie.
I've got to go back and see it
again.
You
do need to see it. I mean, the film quality is kind of garbage.
Is it streaming anything? Do we have?
Oh, gosh, I saw it on cable because I'm old and do cable. I'm not in touch with all the newer streaming
I'm old
crap.
And do cable.
Yeah. I'm one of those old people that has
that
to have
cable
to watch
worth
the
it.
News.
That was worth the whole conversation.
But anyway, actually, that leads me into another another interesting thing. I remember we've talked about coffee a lot on here,
yeah.
Right? And about the way I deal with my coffee at home. At least, if not on here, I've talked to you about it. You know, I grind my own beans. I have my own.
Fantastic.
A mid-range expensive
I'm
coffee machine.
I'm way too damn tired to grind my own beans in the morning to put coffee. Like, yeah, so we have pre-ground
I have,
I'm a cheater. I'm sorry, but.
I have more advanced taste buds than Mike, so I need to have my
advanced
beans.
Taste buds, he says.
For a while, I'd just been getting a Kona blend because it was a light to medium blend,
okay,
and nice flavor. But
are you getting your stuff from Starbucks?
No, I've just been buying mainly from various stores, trying their different Kona blends.
Okay.
I like a Kona blend; it's got a nice flavor to it, and it's fairly mild.
So essentially, you've developed the philosophy that you can judge a place by the Kona blend.
Yes,
right. Just like you can judge a good breakfast place by their biscuits and gravy.
And
like,
honestly,
you can do that.
Honestly.
I think we might have had that conversation.
Just that, yes, we have. But just the place like at a Walmart or a Winco where they have the Walmart doesn't have many more, but like Food Max does.
Right.
The dispensable coffee things where they have that wall of coffee beans that they dispense. You know, you can dispense your own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've tried various ones of those. I've also done some prepackaged ones that are fairly decent.
Yeah.
But I remember you and I had a conversation after we did our Starbucks episode almost a year ago about the beans that Starbucks offered. And I had the Pike's Place before.
Yeah.
Which is a fairly decent one, but still
a
little
a
on the bitter
medium,
side.
Yeah, it's a decent medium blend. It's okay. I prefer the blonde roasts overall.
And that's what I picked up last week. I think it's Veranda or something.
I think Veranda's a dark.
Then I don't know. All I know it was one of the light blonde roasts.
Yeah.
And it was just at a regular grocery store. I picked up the bag of it to give it a whirl. Dear sweet fluffy Lord. It is amazing. Sweet, and so I actually tried drinking two cups of coffee a day last week
because
they were so flavorful. It was so great.
Oh, man.
But like, I am too old to be doing that anymore.
How was your heart after the blonde?
I mean, it tasted fantastic. And after one cup of it, it's great. Like I had a cup this morning.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, two cups in a day.
Yeah.
Jamie's don't sleep.
Understandable.
I'm not sleeping at all.
Are you familiar with blondes and how they work?
Yes, they have a higher caffeine content. When you roast the beans more and get the darker beans,
right.
You roast out
a lot
the
of people
caffeine.
Are like, I like dark blend caffeine because bitter.
Got, it's got
or
better,
whatever.
Yeah, it's got better.
No, it's got less caffeine in it. See, they roast the caffeine out of it. Blonde roast, when you see the beans, you can. I'm going into straight barista mode. I used to work there for a couple of years over at Starbucks. I know that sounds like super like corporatized or whatever, but. When you see the beans on a blonde roast, you'll notice, first off, that they are a lighter color, obviously.
Yeah.
That's why they call them blonde roast, duh.
But
it's
but
only
not
because they're roasted
oily and
once.
Greasy in the same way.
They're more oily.
Really? They don't seem as much.
Yes, and the reason why they are more oily, they tend to be more oily.
Because they have the stuff still in
them. It's because it's still in them. It's because
it's not been baked out.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. And depending on like the medium roast, you'll see dark and oily.
Yeah.
The dark roast, you'll see dark and dry.
Yeah.
The blonde roast, you'll see dark. You'll see lighter, a little oily, but not very much. And that's because when you roast the beans, you're literally roasting the caffeine right out of the damn bean.
And
honestly, the thing that makes the coffee be coffee.
Yeah, it's
but blonde roast tastes a lot lighter.
So much better.
They taste a lot. Yeah, there's more caffeine content, but you even notice that the coffee itself is a lighter color.
Yeah. Oh, and it's
and it's freaking amazing.
It's fantastic. So I have found my new coffee love.
Oh, yes.
So I just wanted to share that. But anyway, to one of the points for this episode, one of the surprises for this second half of the episode.
Yes.
Mike, sitting in front of you is a glass of milk.
Yeah, you know, James came over. James came over with a carton of milk, and we did have I mean, there
it is a half gallon.
Me of a bit of the plan.
It's a half gallon of milk.
Half gallon, not a gallon. I'm sorry.
Mike took a glass
1.89 liters of milk. And I took a cup of it because I kind of figured maybe that this would be necessary.
Yeah, he took a glass, and this the rest, by the way, I will be drinking as we're finishing the podcast. I will be drinking this through the rest of this podcast.
Are you going to finish it through the podcast?
Probably.
Are you serious?
Party trick. Party trick. Yes.
Okay, dude. I must have to like. We don't have cameras, so I'm gonna have to voice this when you drink.
Yeah. The reason we have the milk is because we had a podcast last week where we talked about masturbation. Pop-Tarts.
God.
Pop-Tarts. We talked about Pop-Tarts. We talked about various flavors of Pop-Tarts. We'll come to find out that Mike and his wife...
What the fuck? Hold on. Hey, James, why do you got a gallon of milk? Well, we talked about masturbation last
week. But anyway, Mike and his wife went out and they did some shopping. They actually did buy some Pop-Tarts.
Oh, yeah. On recommendation, we happened to be out and we saw the cinnamon pretzel Pop-Tarts.
And you bought them.
We bought them.
And?
They're fucking amazing,
dude.
They
are, aren't they?
Yes.
You just never would think it, but they are so good.
Dude, they're insane.
And by the way, I want to say his wife reports that she thinks they are better when they are cold, not toasted, which I agree with her on that.
Okay, I myself am, I tend to like hot Pop-Tarts.
Which is fine.
Rather than cold.
Yeah.
I feel like you take them, you pull them out of the package, it's like there's a step missing.
I understand
personally,
that.
I also, just to be real, I like hot food in general. It could just be that I like hot food. If pizza is old, it's cold, it's in the fridge. The next day, I take it, I throw it in the air fryer or back in the day, I used to throw it in the oven in 325 and 5-10 minutes or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Get a little bit of crispy on the bottom.
I reheat my pizza, too.
Yeah, for sure.
I reheat my pizza, too. But the only thing that I can eat that's
supposed
to be...
Pop-Tarts have to be hot when it comes out.
Well, I'm going to disappoint you today because...
No hot Pop-Tarts?
We're not having hot Pop-Tarts,
damn
but
you.
We are having Pop-Tarts.
We're having Pop-Tarts?
We're having Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
Because guess what?
Okay.
I happen to have at my house... And what I thought was a very unusual flavor of Pop-Tart. Very unusual. I had never actually seen this one before when we bought it.
Okay.
And I had one package, the package that has, two Pop-Tarts in it.
Yeah.
I had one package left over.
Oh, my.
And I said to myself, and we bought these recently, by the way, within the last week or two, so it's not been sitting in my pantry for 2 months.
Right.
Okay. But I had one package of this left over, and I said to myself, self...
I don't know why I laughed at that. It's so flipping old.
That's why I did it. I'm old. But anyway, I looked at it. I'm like, you know what? This is perfect. We just had the discussion about Pop-Tarts. I'm going to bring this for me and Mike to try while we're doing the podcast. So,
All right.
So I'm reaching for the bag.
This isn't like a year and a half old Pop-Tart that you pulled
out
of the pantry.
This is very new. Very new.
Okay.
Should I show you the box first? Because I brought the box.
Sure. I'll see the box.
This is the flavor, sir.
What?
What is it?
That's
sir?
A
read,
thing?
Read it off.
Frosted chocolate cupcake. Frosted
Whoa.
Chocolate cupcake.
Whoa. Yes, frosted chocolate cupcake, supposedly it's got the swirl like the...
Dude, it's got the Hostess cupcake swirl on the
it's
top.
It's got the swirl.
I am so down for this.
It is made to taste like the Hostess cupcakes.
That's amazing.
So, yes.
So you've obviously had this. So by verification, you could verify, you could vouch.
I'm not verifying anything until we both try them.
Okay.
Yes, I've had them.
Okay. I'm ready.
But
I'm ready.
I'm not,
I gotta
I'm not
see
doing
this.
Verification.
Okay.
So I'm opening now.
Okay. Very. Very.
I'm purposely crinkling it as
of
close
course,
to, the,
of course.
To the microphone as possible. I'm making sure not to touch.
Dude, the Pop-Tart itself is chocolate.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm very... Okay.
It's
I got
chocolate with a chocolate icing and a the swirl. It's got the swirl.
That's so damn cute.
It's not a perfect swirl,
no.
But it's a swirl.
Should I bite into the end of it or should I break it in half and then bite it?
I'm one of those... This is interesting. We didn't talk about this when we actually did the Pop-Tart episode.
Okay.
I'm one of those that actually... I love to eat the border and then I eat the middle.
That's cute.
I know it's weird, but it's
I don't
like,
know why it is for
border.
Me, but I like to eat. There's always a frosting side to the top and then a non-frosting side to the top. I tend to start on the frosting side.
By the way, can we please figure out a way to cover the entire top with frosting? Please. Let's do
always
this.
Always something with you.
But let's go in for the bite, sir.
All right, here goes.
Take it.
That is surprisingly accurate.
Isn't it, though? It tastes like it tastes like the cupcake, doesn't it?
It tastes straight up like the cupcake. You know what it is okay, so there is a white frosting on the inside.
Yes.
And it's the whipped cream center. It's a whipped cream frosting.
Well, and the texture of the it's a slightly different texture to the pastry part.
By the way, the milk was a good call on my head. Yeah, Pop-Tarts and milk, man. Like,
well, especially chocolate.
Yeah, for
chocolate,
sure.
Chocolate, Pop-Tart, and milk. I was like, I had to bring the milk. So the texture of the pastry itself gives you a little bit of that fluffiness of the cake that you get mm-hmm. when you're eating the cupcake itself. They're amazing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Excuse me.
Go ahead, chew in the microphone.
I was
going to
say, I feel very rude chewing into the mic, but...
No, I'm chewing right into
this
the microphone,
This is
man.
Good shit right here.
I'm even talking with my mouth full. That's the whole point. They can't see us, so got to at least paint the picture, right?
I've got to try this hot. So if I do not remember to tell my wife that we are getting these, I am telling my wife here on the podcast right now, and she will hear them on Thursday.
Dude, I will leave the box.
And they will go on the grocery list.
I will leave the box.
This is fantastic. This is amazing.
I know. When I saw it, I was like, I have to get this. And then when I saw that I had one left over, I'm like, I need to bring this to Mike. It's amazing.
That was super well done.
Chew in front of the microphone.
I was
going to
say,
it.
Are we going to eat
just
the whole damn
it.
Thing? No, I don't want to be weird and rude and shit, but are we going to eat
whole
the whole damn thing on air? That's our
I
last,
am.
That's our
I
last
am.
Half hour.
No, not the last.
Eating Pop-Tarts.
It shouldn't take you that long.
What's your judgment on if I were to dip the Pop-Tart in milk? That's kind of like one of the things.
If you want to do it, man, go for it. I'm typically
strangely like I would be judged if I did, but
I'm typically against the cookies and milk thing because I don't like leaving particulates in my milk.
Okay,
and that's why I've never been like a dip the Oreo person. I've also never been an eat the filling out of the Oreo type person.
Oh, dude, I break those bastards open and I eat that way.
No, see, well, okay, let's say you didn't break the Oreo open, right? Let's say you just ate the Oreo. How many bites does it take you to eat an Oreo?
Like two?
Yeah, it takes me one.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can physically, but...
No, I do. Always.
Nah, dude, like...
It's not about a can.
Nah,
it is a choice to always do it.
You have to break it up. You have to break it up. You have to enjoy all parts. I don't know what it is about that, but...
Here's the thing. You can enjoy all the parts of it great if you eat the whole package at once by shoving one at a time in your mouth.
No, that's not true. It's like...
I've enjoyed it. That's how I do it.
You know, it's really weird because that's the way I eat my food sometimes separate. I don't have to keep it separate on the plate or anything like that.
I do, depending on the food.
Okay, so you're telling me that if you had food that was meant to be... See, here's the thing about an Oreo. The Oreo has many different flavors to it, right? And some of those things are meant to be taken in stride. Like, I can break in... Okay, I prefer to open the Oreo and then the cream center and then eat the cookies.
All right.
Sometimes I will take the Oreo and just bite straight into the Oreo if I feel like it. There's a lot of ways you can eat an Oreo cookie.
I get that.
Okay?
I'm literally a shove the whole cookie in my mouth type of dude.
I eat an Oreo like I eat spaghetti. Okay? I am not really a fan of spaghetti that is all made in one big pot normally. I have to be in a mood for it. Okay?
Okay.
He just downed like a quarter of that fucking thing. That's nuts.
Told you party trick,
How
bro.
Do you have... Yeah.
Actually, funny enough, you were mentioning the fact that you eat your Oreos like
he was
you
doing that. No, he wasn't doing that to perform. I think that's just what he does.
Yes. This is a normal thing. I was just going to say...
You could put him in a cage in a zoo... And just be like, everybody watch the gorilla be a gorilla for a minute. That's just what they do. Like, that's what he does. And it's a fucking spectacle for some reason.
You were saying that you eat an Oreo like you want to eat the Oreo like you eat spaghetti. And like, as you're saying this, I'm trying to drink and I stop in my drink like, you know what? I eat Oreos like I eat spaghetti. Do you know why? When I eat Oreos.
You take everything you mash together
no,
in the spaghetti
no,
or what?
No. When I eat Oreos, I drink a half a gallon of milk. When I eat a plate of spaghetti,
you drink a half a gallon
I also drink a half a gallon of milk. I'm not even
Why
kidding.
Why do you drink milk with spaghetti?
I don't know. I always have. I love drinking milk with spaghetti. This is a weird one. You can ask my wife. It's a weird thing that I do. I also put ice in my milk. So there's that. Because I like my milk as cold as possible.
Okay.
But I can understand that. I will drink a half gallon of milk with spaghetti.
I'm curious if you should. Okay, do you get an issue with how the milk gets watered down with the ice?
No.
Oh, okay, you don't.
No.
I was gonna say you should try milk with whiskey stones, because then it doesn't break down the milk, but then you still have it cold.
Dude, that's amazing. I'm going to have to do that.
Because I have whiskey stones myself, and they're fantastic if you're just having whiskey.
Well, no, I actually wouldn't use whiskey stones for whiskey. I would use an ice cube, a big ice cube, which, by the way, I have two.
The orb, the brown ball.
No, I have two. Right? I have two football molds, football ice cube molds. They're like this big, and they make football ice cubes.
Yeah, but they turn into a ball, and then the ball like stays as an ice cube longer than a regular
football,
ice cube.
The football does, too. It's a football. It's shaped like a freaking football, so it's perfect.
So everything's like it's round and it stays like grouped up in itself. That's why people like the ball type ice balls. They're ice balls.
Yeah. Now I even have one that's a 20-sided dice. It's an ice mold. It's a 20-sided dice.
Is it inscribed and stuff? So you can read the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's adorable.
And that's one of the ones I use for if I'm drinking whiskey for my ice cube, so that I can have some melting.
That's cute. Because
you want a little melt in your whiskey. A little bit, not a lot.
Just a hair.
Just a little bit of
milk. Yeah, you can't just straight throw tap water in your whiskey. It doesn't work that way. But a little bit of, because if you take it and you break it down a little bit, it gives you like that sweet flavor, the whiskey that it's supposed to be.
Yeah, your whiskey should have a very, very small amount of water in it. Very small.
Yeah.
Very small, but just a little bit. And the little bit that melts off a big cube of ice is perfect for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, you have floaties in your milk.
That's fine.
That would drive me nuts.
Okay. I'm okay with floaties in the milk. That doesn't really bug me. That's like putting milk in cereal, and you end up getting some of the cereal in the milk. You know, milk in the Cocoa Puffs, you end up with chocolate milk.
So
like
you drink the milk after your cereal. Interesting.
I totally drink the milk after the cereal.
The milk is there.
Oh.
I don't do that. Of course,
my grandma had these bowls that had straws on the side of them, so you could drink the milk out the straw after you had the cereal.
I remember those. Do you know the reason why I typically don't drink the milk after the cereal?
Why is that?
Because if there's still milk in the bowl, I'll just add more cereal.
Okay, I can understand.
Use up all the milk.
No, that totally makes
sense. I mean, seriously, I will. I'll end up with a half a box of cereal eaten because I'm not going to go like Ice Cube's method and just grab a big Tupperware bowl and pour the whole half a box in, cover it in milk. You have your normal bowl, you put your cereal in. Once you're done, pour some more cereal in.
Right.
Pour some more cereal in. You know what I'm saying? You don't want it to get too soggy. Unless it's like grape nuts, then get that crap soggy. Because grape nuts, by the way,
I could take it one way or the other.
To go back to the whole cornflakes thing,
I would say take grape nuts.
Yeah.
Add frosted flakes.
Maybe.
Or do you do cornflakes?
I just do grape nuts by themselves.
By themselves are not. They don't feel like a complete cereal. They just feel like a bunch of rocks in a bowl.
Well, that's why I let them get soggy.
It's like gravel. Yeah.
But
you could add the crunch to something else, to another cereal, and grape nuts would be a great supplement to another cereal.
I can't do the crunch
taste wise. I know people like, the illusion of health in breakfast cereal when it comes to something like grape nuts. Like, they just taste bland to me. They don't really taste like
I add to grape nuts to give a little more flavor?
What's that?
I add cinnamon.
Ooh.
It actually makes, and it's that has no negative health impact whatsoever.
Like, you know what? Banana is cool, but you could do cinnamon.
I'm not a fruit in my cereal guy.
Dude, sliced banana in my cereal. Like, I could have sliced banana in Lucky Charms. I don't even care. Sliced banana in my cereal is cool.
Textures.
I can understand that. Yeah. But the cinnamon sounds like a good call. Like, I think I'd try that. He's going in for another swig. Good God, man. It's been 20 minutes at the most.
Not even that
I think
long.
We didn't start that until like 10 minutes ago. I think, right?
I think it was about 10 minutes in. Yeah, maybe 13 minutes in.
Holy smokes.
I'm telling you, it's a thing.
This guy's a machine.
I've
never seen someone drink that much milk in one sitting.
I grew up drinking milk like you wouldn't even believe. And so, yeah, for this is nothing.
Wow.
This is nothing.
I've had like the glass of milk for me was like, I knew we were having a Pop-Tart.
So I think he got about 6 to 8 ounces of milk total. And he's still got the majority of that left.
Yeah, totally. Milk is like is it like an additive to a meal?
And I think I maybe have 10 ounces left in this container.
I took it from this carton, so to be real, like he's not having the entire carton. But right now, I do not challenge that. He would drink a gallon on his own if he wanted to.
I wouldn't drink a full gallon. That's putting you in dangerous territory.
You're having a half gallon.
Yeah, that's...
like a half gallon is a
lot
of milk.
One of those is okay. Two of those is not okay.
A half gallon in an entire day is a little odd.
Well...
Right? Isn't it like...
I mean, technically it's...
I don't know.
No.
Personally.
The health things, I don't think it's really... There's some fat in there, so I mean, there's that, but... I mean, I'm mostly fat anyway, so it just feels at home. But if beyond the half a gallon, there would be some issues. But I'm actually one of those people that whatever fluids I'm drinking, I usually drink a large amount anyway.
Right.
I mean, I've done a 2 liter of soda in under 5 minutes, but that was a long time ago. I mean, I was very young then.
I was going to say.
And admittedly, that one I got sick. Normally, it takes a lot to make me yak on something.
Yeah.
But that one definitely made me sick. It was Mountain Dew, too, so it was unpleasant.
Oh, God. No. Ugh.
But,
So that was some kind of a challenge, I'm assuming.
No. Literally, it just was a 2 liter and I was thirsty and I just kept drinking. But,
Were you 12?
About.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you didn't get sick?
I did. I did yak, but only once.
Okay. But no, not constantly. All right.
No, with like even when I drink sit down and drink a glass of water. And I love drinking water, but I drink a large amount. And yes, for people who may be listening and want to talk about health issues, I know the health issues that I have. One of the markers of one of my health issues is the fact that you drink a lot of fluids. But I did that before I had any of the health issues. I've always drank a lot of fluids. That's just kind of what I do.
Oh, I mean, but yeah.
And I do urinate regularly too, so I'm good on the health part of that.
Oh, okay.
I just drink a lot of fluids. I enjoy drinking fluids.
That's okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know people
person...
that are totally into health, and they'll down a gallon of water a day on normal. Sometimes they'll fill
usually,
up twice.
I usually do about 60 ounces or so of water a day in supplement of all the other things I drink. All
right, yeah.
So... You know, I do some things in moderation. I purposely, and I set myself up for it. If I buy a 2 liter of soda, I'll end up drinking way too much each time. You know, I'll pour a big old glass of soda with some ice in it and whatnot.
Right.
I by the way, I'm a person who likes ice in my soda. Just normally do. Most people don't like the watered down of it. I like ice in my soda.
No, dude, you got to have ice in the soda. I'm done with ice in the soda.
But if I buy a 2 liter, I'll drink that thing way too fast. I'll drink it in a day. No questions asked about it.
Okay.
If I buy cans, I can tell myself I'm limiting to one can, and I'll only drink one can.
Okay.
And the thing is, I don't like to leave containers with things in them. So, like, if the container is like a giant container, like a full gallon of milk, that should last you for a month, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, well, not a month. Actually, it lasts about a week. So, no, in my house, it lasts about 5 days, 3 days, 2 days, three. 3 days, okay? God. Leave me alone. Quit judging me. But anyway, point being that that does last a little bit longer, so you're going to leave some left over. But cool. when I know it's a size that I know I can consume the entirety of the package, like same with chips. I hate buying normal size bag of chips. I love smaller chips because once the bag is open, I want to finish it because I don't like leaving an open container like that.
All right.
Same thing with one of the reasons why I don't buy a whole lot of alcohol. I don't like to be drinking too much.
Right.
And so I don't want to have that same thing happen to me with like, oh, there's an open container. Looks like I need to finish it. Because it's not about the alcohol. It's about my brain saying I don't like leaving containers open half empty and whatnot.
Yeah,
it bothers me.
No, that's bad.
And so I check myself on those. I purposely put blocks in place.
Good call. Self-regulation is good.
So anyway, to get away from my fun little party trick, I did have some said before the break that I had some other news that I wanted to go out.
Yeah.
Some of this is to some of our listeners.
Yeah.
We do have those. So first thing I want to do is say
we do have those.
I want to say congratulations to my nephew, Alex, who got married.
Hey.
Recently. I am going I hope I don't get in trouble, but I am going to share that he is a very, very smart man. Because he got married on February 29th. So he only has to celebrate his anniversary every 4 years.
Please
good
tell
guy.
Me they planned that.
Oh, yes, completely and utterly. They went to freaking Costa Rica. The only reason I'm saying anything about it now is because they're back, so I don't have to worry about telling people that, you know, somebody's not at home.
Right.
Even though I'm sure nobody could draw the line between me and him without really knowing anything. But still, they went to freaking Costa Rica to get married.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's just fantastic. Nice to see another person with our last name. There's not very many of us that are part of our family with the last name, so that's good. Yeah. I haven't met her yet, sadly, but it's been a long time since I've seen my nephew. I just talked to him online and whatnot. But congratulations, Alex. Congratulations, Vanna. Glad to have you as part of the family. More family news. Other listeners from family out in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
One of my sister-in-laws. Mm-hmm. She is actually, as we are talking, in the process of popping out her first kid. And they do listen.
Whoa!
So
congratulations.
By the time this comes out and is heard, that baby will be out. It'll be posted all over the internet because she's already posting that she's been in the hospital, getting the process of pushing it out. So congratulations to the both of you. Welcome again, new member of the family in.
Right on.
And since those type of things, births are kind of important things.
Yeah.
This will be coming out on Thursday like it always does.
Yes.
What's the date? The 12th that it comes out?
I believe it's the 12th.
The 12th of March.
Yeah.
And the next one will be coming out the following week, which will be after St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. It's the 18th.
It's the 18th that it comes out?
Yes.
I thought it was the 19th.
You're right. I'm sorry. The 15th is on Sunday.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
That's a good day.
It is a good day.
That's Julius Caesar getting stabbed day.
That is.
Or as I like to call it, people killing my kid day. I'm not going to explain that. For anybody who knows, it's a funny joke.
Yes.
For anybody who doesn't, I'm not going to explain it. Ha. But that's an interesting day. I remember they call it the Ides of March, right?
They do.
Yes.
Beware.
Yes, very much beware. Do you beware the Ides of March, sir?
Oh, I do not. It's the day that I was birthed, sir.
It's the day that you emerged from a vagina?
Indeed.
For the first time. Hey-o.
Oh, damn it.
So
You had to ruin that, didn't you?
Of course I did. So I want to say here on the podcast, happy birthday to you, sir.
Thank you.
I brought you your birthday gifts today.
Yes.
In fact, I'm going to suggest posting a picture of them.
Absolutely. They already have a spot in my studio.
I'll admit I'm a cheap ass, so I only spent $2 on them. But still, it's the thought that counts.
Yes.
And it works out good. You know what I need to get you? I need to get you like a little goat to go in between them. But anyway.
Find a Funko Pop of that or something.
But when people are listening to this, this is right at the end of our podcast for the day. So please, when you hear this,
yes,
get on there. Wish Mike a happy birthday.
Thank you
for
guys
his
so
birthday
much.
On the 15th. Or you can wait till the 15th and wish him a happy birthday. Either way, I don't care. Let's get some happy birthday wishes out to him. He's not going to be as old as me, so that's good. In fact, he'll probably never be as old as me because I'm pretty sure he's going to die first.
Thanks.
Wait, hold on. What am I seeing on your phone?
No, I'm actually trying to look up chat history on it, and there's a couple of eggplants showing up on here.
Yeah. Eggplant emoji.
No. Okay.
And you were freaking out about trouser snakes.
No. This is
dang.
No. Okay. So I was actually looking this up because. So we just completely segued off. The reason why is because I wanted to make sure that speaking of birthdays, I share a birthday with one of my band members from Digital Havoc.
Really?
Yes, Captain Adam Mayer. We have he is born exactly 1 year before I was.
Nice.
Yes.
So this is Captain, right?
Captain.
Well, happy birthday to Captain, too.
Happy birthday to Captain as well.
I've only met him once.
Also,
but
happy birthday to Captain's little girl.
Also same day?
No, not the same day. Okay. No, she was just born.
Fantastic.
He just had a child. He actually got married last year. So I wanted to give a huge shout out to Captain and
fantastic.
And his newfound full family that he has that he's working on and making sure he's taken care of. He's doing the daddy thing right now.
That's great.
Staying
man.
At home, taking care of the, well, taking you know, care of the wife and the kids.
You know
so.
What that means to me. So that's great.
Yeah.
And then, one final note, part of maybe the birthday gift you can give Mike this year, unless you want to send him stuff. I'll give you his address if you want it.
No.
So since he says no on the address, here is my idea for a birthday gift instead. Debuting 2 days before you hear this, so it'll be out already when you hear this, get yourself on YouTube, okay, because that's where you may be listening to us. Some of you are listening to us on the various podcast releasing apps, okay? But if you're listening to us on YouTube, or even if you're not, get to YouTube, and you want to find, let me see if I get this right, Harlan King Carlin.
Yes, yes. That's
and now
the
we
can.
We'll put it. We'll put a. I'm going to make sure that when Mike posts all this stuff, posts our thing. We will put in links to this. On Facebook, wherever, Twitter, wherever we can put in links.
Yeah.
To this. This is a new music project that Mike has been working on.
Yes.
They are releasing their first single. It'll have come out again on Tuesday. This comes out on Thursday. So it'll already be out for 2 days when you hear this. Okay. And the single is called?
I don't know.
What? What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. No, no.
How do you not know?
No.
You're the one who wrote the, or at least helped write the song.
No. That's, no, I know what the song's called.
So what's the song called?
I don't know.
What the hell, man? I'm trying to ask you. You need to tell people.
Well, I am. I'm telling you. I'm telling you what the song is.
No, you're not. You're telling me that you don't know.
No, that's not true. I know what the song is.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Then tell me the damn name of it.
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, third base?
We'll be here. Yes, we'll be here all week. The name of the song is I Don't Know. This is a new upbeat rock project, upbeat kind of pop rock project. It started with me and Sammy Carlin and Christian Harlan and our buddy Anthony Grant as well. We're all local musicians in the Sacramento area. We've been doing stuff for a long time. James just finished the Half Gallon, by the way.
Holy crap, Anthony Grant.
Yes.
Who used to be in that band whose name I won't say.
Yes. He's our
really?
Bassist. He's our bassist.
Holy crap, it's
he's
been forever
the guy,
since I've
yes,
seen him.
Now James has gotten the pleasure to hear the song before it came out.
Yes, it's
that
amazing.
Sexy bass line.
That's him.
Is him.
Wow.
That's all his doing, and he's amazing. And honestly, like all the guys that I'm working with right now, mad talent all the way across the board. Please check us out on YouTube.
Yes.
The name of the band is Harlan King Carlin. The name of the song is I Don't Know. That's
that
the
is
name
the actual
of
name of it.
Our lyric video will be debuting on Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday? I thought it was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It is debuting
on Tuesday.
It won't matter because
it'll
this
be
comes
out when you hear this.
Yes, it'll already be out. So you just need to go find it. And just like we say for us, subscribe, like, click the bell, because there are more things coming from Harlan King Carlin.
Thank you so
more
much.
More music coming.
Yes, very much. Absolutely.
And
there is.
We are firm believers in cross
promotion. Absolutely. Speaking
also,
of,
we are firm believers in cross dressing. But still.
I mean, you know, to each their own. Neither one of us, I don't think, do that unless James does, and I don't know about it.
It's been a long time.
But, anyway. But hey, man. But to be real, speaking yes. of liking and subscribing and all of
yes.
that, we are doing this on our podcast. Our podcast is at thezennialchronicles.com.
Yes, that's where you can hear us.
Yes. You can also hear us all over the place. We're on Spotify. We're on TuneIn. You can get
Google.
Us on Apple. We are on Google. You can get us everywhere. You can get us follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. And speaking of which, that like, subscribe, we are
yes.
on YouTube as well.
YouTube's.
Our entire archive of all of our podcasts is available on YouTube. Make sure that you like the video. Click the bell
Click
when
the
you subscribe
bell.
So that you get notices every time we have a video. And that will be weekly. So.
Fantastic. Everybody, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed. Yes, the milk is gone.
The milk is totally.
I feel.
Well,
I
am way behind.
That's just, dude. I've had enough. I've had enough parties with you and drinking. That's the story of things.
I nurse my drinks, man.
Yes.
I take them over a long period of time.
Not so much. Party trick handled. Anyway,
he's a slammer.
I can be. Thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed, and we will be back with actually a true topic filled podcast next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.